The Lord is good. All right, can we open our Bibles to the book of, well, of course, where we started last time. Let's just complete that today. We said a set of prayers last week, which I called the blessing. That's blessing for the blessed man, right? That's what we called it. All right, so let's complete that. The book of Numbers, chapter 6. All right, let me start from verse 22. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. You shall say to them, the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Also you will say to them, the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace." He said, when you do this, what you are doing is that you are invoking my name on the sons of Israel. I then will bless them. I said last time there are three levels of blessings, and that these words were one to the sons of Israel. That is, these are people of the covenant. The first blessing is to be a part of the covenant. I discovered these days that people want to hear the blessings, but they don't understand there is a walk that qualifies you for that blessing. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right. When the word is going forth, I said God does not discriminate where he sends his signals to. The sower goes forth to do what? To sow. And as he's sowing, the seeds are just falling everywhere. And that's the way it is. The sower goes forth to sow. Some falls on his shoes. Some falls, you know what I'm saying? They just fall everywhere. It doesn't discriminate. All right? The sower goes forth to sow. Some fall by the wayside. Some fall on good soil. Some fall on bad soil. Some fall on very fertile soil and all of that. And that's how the blessings of God are. And so when you go to church, you tune the TV. You know, it's very common these days what you see. I see it a lot on TV. In fact, you know, just by the way, I hope you don't mind me digressing a bit. The Church of Christ, we always have, how do I call it, a fad. You know, something that's raining. When I was on campus those days and shortly after, teachers were raining. Do you understand? Almost every preacher you met was a teacher. They used to teach. There's one that's raining right now. I don't know that you've noticed. They called them the prophetic. Yeah, it's very common. So once a man grabs a microphone, from the beginning to the end, he's declaring blessings. All right? He's declaring this year, something great will happen. Tomorrow is your day of breakthrough. Breakthrough is about to break upon somebody. There's a breaking forth that's about to break, and breakness is good, you know? And of course, everybody gets excited, all right? They are not bad things. Do you follow my point, all right? But you see, those things, they excite the soul, all right? You feel very, very happy. Feel very, very happy. What we said last time, which I'm just reminding us of again, is the fact that those blessings can come like that. They don't land on everybody that's hearing them. They don't. The reason being that there are three levels to the blessing. Number one level is that, as the first one, is that you must be a part of the covenant. He said, thus you will say, all right, it was in Aaron and Kor, you will say to them, thus they will bless the sons of Israel. They were not blessing the sons of Ammon. They were not blessing the sons of Moab. They were not blessing the sons of Amalek. Are you getting my point? They were blessing the sons of Israel. Then they pronounced those blessings. The Lord bless you and keep you. He said, make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And then he said, the Lord bless. He said, the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. When you do that, you will invoke my name and then I will bless them. The third level, of course, the second level is that the man begins to declare the blessing upon the people. But the third level is that once he has done that, then there will be a manifestation, or the blessing of God will become manifested in their everyday walking. Now it appears like God wants them to hear that one. That is a word coming to their ears. And that activates the blessing that he has already deposited inside them by reason of the covenant. So when you are pouring forth the word of God, that is the blessing of God upon people, the person must have the heart that is ready. We said last time, to use an illustration, that DSTV signals are coming forth from their satellite and is hitting your hair as you are sitting down there. No, it's a matter of fact. The signals are hitting your bodies as you are going around. The signals are, you know, all over you. But except you have their decoder with the proper smart card properly inserted and your subscription has been paid, you will not be able to see the kingdom of, you know what I'm saying? Because except the man can see that kingdom, he cannot enter. So except God can paint the picture on your television of your heart, you'll not be able to step into his blessing. Are you getting my point? So what we need to do, first of all, is to buy our decoder. You get my point? That is, give your life to Christ. Do you get my point? Pay your subscription. What is your subscription? You must attend to the word of God. Quickly open to that. Let's read it together. Proverbs chapter 4. Because that is a blessing. All right? That's how it is. Proverbs chapter 4. He said, for verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your heart. Keep them in the midst of your do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. Please notice that when a man has come across with and romanced the word of God, it produces life in him and brings health to all their whole body. That's verse 22, Proverbs chapter 4. He said, "This. What I'm trying to bring out from here is this. It's not just about being a Christian by name or having answered an altar call one day. That there's what the Bible calls doing works that are in keeping with repentance. Are you getting my point? John the Baptist was speaking. You must produce fruits that are in keeping with repentance. So when a man is doing that, we say his subscription is what? Up to date. Then he can receive the signals of God. Then when, in fact, let me give you an illustration, all right? One day, one brother was telling me how he got his first job to work in glue. He was in church, and then Sam Adeyemi was preaching. And then Sadiemi was talking and talking, and then Sam Adeyemi just said something. He said, tomorrow, they are going to send for you. And he knew, oh God, I don't know what I get what I'm saying. He just knew that that was his own. Suddenly, the signals hit. His subscription was up to date. Are you getting my point? And that one was almost like GSM because the GSM signals are everywhere. Yet, it has to be your number for the thing to ring when the signal is coming. He said he knew that was his own. Next morning, he was expectant. He knew, and really, he just stumbled to go and see one of his friends. Boy, Hafa. The boy said, Kai, where have you been? I've been looking for you. That was the next morning. Because they didn't have a phone, so he gave the fellow's phone number. All right, has his contact phone. So they had called the fellow to say, you have an interview today. So he told the guy, the interview is where? When? Today. They just quickly borrowed him a jacket, borrowed him a tie. You know, somebody lent him a tie. He wore the thing and ran down for the interview. And as soon as he walked in, I didn't look and looked at him and looked at his name. He said, are you from this area? I said, yeah. The man began to speak his language. That was the end of the interview. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That Sunday, somebody was preaching and said, tomorrow, they will send for you. You see, do you get my point? The church may have had 3,000 people that Sunday morning, but there was only one connection for one person. Are you getting my point? Listen, it is not just to hear the blessing, it's to be prepared in heart. First of all, listen to me. I know I feel bold and confident to declare to you, your time will come also. There is something specific that you are believing God for. Let me say this quickly. Joseph. You know, people think it is a time you fast and pray that. Let me tell you again. Christians, that's not doing things because we want to get one thing. Say, I need breakthrough now. You know, go and fast and pray till the breakthrough comes. This is the normal working of God. You will fast, it is good. You know the kind of fast I'm talking about. Not just to go hungry. Hungry is punishment of the flesh, all right? You need to be hungry. Fast is to concentrate and meditate. Amen? Take time out, all right? And you pray. When you have done that, God will let you finish and go back to work. I don't know what I heard what I said. He will let you finish and go back to work, and there's no breakthrough. Did the fast and prayer work? Yeah, they did their job. But no matter how hard you fast, no matter how fervently you pray, you cannot make God's time come sooner than it's supposed to come. Are you getting my point? That's why I say, pray the prayer. Fast the fastings. They are never forgotten. They are kept there. In fact, they are making the day come at the appropriate time. Then the day will come. And usually the day comes is the day that your friend did party yesterday. And the whole Sunday, you were there running around, helping to arrange chair, doing everything, and chopping and drinking and feeling very irate. Then that's the night that you didn't even remember to lock your door. How much more pray for protection? You just collapse on the bed. Blah! Yet, you wake up next morning, and Samuel is at your door. Say, please, who's David? I have this oil. I've been trying to pour it for a while. The cap not grey open. They say, until I find David. I hope you know what I'm saying. That day will come when you did not expect it. That's why the Bible said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, It was as if the sleep I slept had not yet finished. He said, we're like them that dream. Are you getting my point? Listen, let me tell you something. I said it before. Abraham waited for Isaac for 25 years. Yes and no. When we counted all the days, it was 25. The truth was that he waited one day at a time. He wasn't sitting down, you know, relaxing. You know, the way we Christians like to do it. Thank God he was not a Pentecostal. All right? He wasn't waking up. Oh, Isaac. Isaac, where are you? Picasso, come. Paint me a picture of the child I'm about to have. He said, hey, Michelangelo, where you? Carve him for me. And he rubbed the head of the carving. Isaac, you shall come. Isaac is coming. No. He didn't do that. He believed the word of God. I'm going to say something about that today, which is actually meaning I want to say. And he woke up in the morning. It is farming time. You know what he will do? He will farm. When he was going to war, the soldiers that went to him were part of his household. He had a large household. He had to manage them every day. One of the reasons why the breakthrough doesn't come on time is that we focus on it too much. Yeah, because for that reason, we can't do what actually is the correct work that brings this breakthrough towards us. Because you see, life is spiritual. I keep on saying it. Life is what? Spiritual. Life is spiritual. What I mean is this. You are sowing seeds every day that God is using to bring harvest your way. Every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. Except that you don't know which seed you are sowing for which harvest. That's why I say it all the time. It is Pentecostal, you know, clowning, joking. That you will bring forth this money and say it's for my breakthrough. It does not work. It does not work. The money you will give for your breakthrough, listen to me, you will probably give it to a child you do not know in a strange place one day. Nobody was preaching that day. So he says, sow your seed in the morning. And at night, don't do what? Don't withhold your hand. Because you don't know which one will bring forth which harvest. You don't know which one will prosper. Or whether both of them alike will prosper. What you're supposed to do, just be busy. What I'm trying to say is this. When we focus so much on one thing, we usually are not busy doing what is the right thing. Abraham waited for 25 years for Isaac. There are many reasons, things we can use to explain that. But one of the things going on was that God was allowing him to do the right things. And God was preparing him for Isaac. Listen, the very day that Abraham did the last thing that forced Isaac to come, he was not trying to bring forth Isaac. He was trying to help strangers. Are you getting my point? Those who are so focused on Isaac will not welcome the stranger. And the stranger was the one carrying the anointing to release Isaac. What did he do? He just saw strangers and said, ah, guys, this is Abia State. Before they kidnap you, better come inside. That was before, amen? Not anymore. They just saw strangers and said, ah, before they grab you and ask for ransom, just come inside this tent. My men are well able to protect you. And they prepared food for them. They look like royalty. They are coming from a great distance, so you entertain them very well. Or they look like important people. Whatever it is, at least they needed help. And then, it was while they were talking, the Lord now said, can we just pass by and not tell him? That's when they discovered that he had entertained the Lord and two angels. He was not doing that for Isaac's sake. He was just doing it. And then the Lord now turned to him and said to him, by this time next year, according to the time of life, your wife will bear you a son. For years, he had been doing what was right. Listen, when people say to us a lot of times, you know, I hear that joke all the time. The widow of Zarephath did one dangerous thing and breakthrough came. Don't let anybody lie to you. The widow of Zarephath did not do one dangerous thing. Abraham did not just entertain strangers one day. Abraham had been doing the right things for 24 years. The final work was done in that 24th year leading to the 25th. And I always laugh. People who want to give one single offering and breakthrough, I laugh all the time. Yeah, you know, wickedness is a bad thing. To the crafty, God shows himself like I know how to collect your money. He said to the crafty, I show myself crafty. What am I saying? That when people focus just on that thing that they are looking for, they never get it easily. They don't.
The reason is simple. The right things they are supposed to do towards that thing, they don't even have the time to do it. You are getting the point? So what are we supposed to do as Christians? We sow our seeds in the morning, and at night, we don't stop sowing our seeds. We keep on working, activating the blessings of God by our general lifestyle. Then in due season, are you getting my point? In due season, the man who wants to fast and pray should continually fast and pray. It's important. Listen, the man who wants to sow a seed for breakthrough shouldn't bother. He should just sow seeds all the time. Are you getting my point? If somebody tells that, look, if you give money, breakthrough will come. It's a good message. But don't think you will give one money and one breakthrough will come. Once you have learned that, what do? You start giving money. Let it become your lifestyle. Don't tie it to one thing. That's why people get discouraged. You can't do that. If you know the giving of money is good, that's why I tell you, Christians, don't be impulsive. Be a regular giver. Make up your mind, okay, for every money I get, this is what I'm going to do with it, and start doing it. When serious emergencies come, respond. Are you getting my point? Make it a lifestyle. You know why I'm saying so? If you do like that, if God takes 100 years to arrive with that Isaac, you don't get tired. But if somebody says, so dangerous, you will sow dangerously for 1 month, 2 months, by the fifth month, you have to be tired because danger must finish in your life. How can you be sowing dangerously every moment? You will soon get tired. Are you getting my point? I mean, if you had $1 million and last week you sold $500,000 dangerously, and that guy showed and says it's dangerous, you sold $400,000. This year, how many remain? 100K. By the time you sold the last 100K dangerously, then next year, even if they bring fire and brimstone, you can't dangerously do anything anymore. Then you get tired. This is a bad side of God. Spiritual things, actually. Is that once you are tired, you lose the reward for all the ones you have done. That's what he said. Let's not get weary of doing good. Because in due season, we'll reap our reward if we faint not. The reason being that God must meet you doing that thing when he finally brings the result of all the ones you have done. That's why he said, any man who's doing right and then stops doing, he starts doing wickedness. What do we do? We forget all the right he has done. That's why I tell you, don't start what you can't sustain. You know, I cheap things on the side here and there. You want to lose weight? They say, I read it all the time. 7 days to remove all the fat in your stomach. Please let me laugh. The fat you gathered in your stomach for 14 years, you want to remove in 7 days? I'm waiting. It doesn't work. I tell people, weight is a lifestyle. Currently, you have a lifestyle of 90 kg and you desire to be 75 kg. Go and learn the lifestyle of 75 kg and start living it. In 3 years, you'll hit 75. It's not going to be overnight. All of a sudden, they go and wire your teeth. I said, don't let anybody wire your teeth. Can you live life with teeth wired? No. So leave your teeth alone. Don't wire them. Just create a new habit, a new lifestyle. Say, I have to shed my weight. I said, listen, I'm not going to jog the jog. I cannot keep jogging when I'm 80 years old. I'm not joking about that. I thought about it this morning when I went out to exercise. I said, when I'm 80, I'll still be doing this. Say, Pastor Vanki, listen, before you even start thinking it's a revelation, I've seen a man, what he does every day. 80-year-old man. See him jogging like this, running up and down a hill. I saw him on TV. 80 years, either 80 or 90. I'm not joking. The man was either 80 or 90. What am I saying? Whatever you want to do, you start doing it and you make it a habit. It must become a habit. Praying will be your habit. Studying the word of God must be your habit. Confessing must be your habit. Declaring the word of God must be your habit. Are you getting my point? When you do that continually, then the day will come. That's where I started this from. You won't know which day. It was an opportunity. No. Success is being at the right place at the right time. You know, I've said it before. How do you know the right place ahead of the right time? It's not possible. It's called the law of quantum physics. It's quantum physics, right? That's quantum physics. You cannot determine the speed and the position. Huh? No, it's quantum physics. It's a basic thing in quantum physics. The speed and the position of a particle at the same time. So it's part of life. You cannot know the right time and the right place ahead of the rightness of the time. No, you can't. Right time and right place, those things are only described in retrospect. that it might be fulfilled that which was written. It's after it had been fulfilled. Again, just by the way. So when you sit down and watching TV, and those American preachers come, Iraq shall invade Iran, two of them shall agree with Russia and shall invade Israel. It's all a lie. They can't know it. It's not possible. They can't. That's just by the way. What am I saying? So we do that continually. Then the right place and the right time will happen to you because the time of your breakthrough has come. Listen, you don't succeed because of right place and right time. No. Right place and right time, they happen because your time has come. You understand that until they found David, Samuel couldn't anoint anybody. David's right time waited until they arrived. What am I saying? Don't let anybody say, don't travel. This is, just go about your life normally. The breakthrough that is supposed to meet you in Enugu, if it arrives when you the day you went to Abakaliki, it will never go to somebody else's house. Did I hear an amen? If it went to somebody else's house, it was not your own. You know the illustration I use all the time? If I travel, and my wife supposed to meet me, say, where are you staying? I say, I'm in so-and-so hotel, room 204. Maybe I mistakenly said 204 instead of 214. She gets to 214 and knocks. And one white man that weighs 300 pounds, you understand my point, opens the door. Which is that, okay, since my husband is not here, the man I meet here now is now my husband. Would she say that? Your blessing is married to you. Did I hear an amen? Amen. If he arrives at your door and you are not there, it will keep on knocking until he finds the door where you are. Blessings are not by accident. They are commanded. And for everyone who has obeyed the word of God, listen to me. Let me command it. Your blessing will come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, I just need to say to activate that thing that's inside you already. For everyone who has given attention to his word, he said, attend to my words. It's a blessing of God that follows them around. For everyone who has attended to the word of God, listen, no devil on earth can hold that which is yours back. Amen. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not possible. Today, a friend of mine, and we're in the office, we're discussing. We were talking this Islam world, you know, all those kind of things again. And what's the church doing? I said, what's the church supposed to do? I said, the church is supposed to be the church. If they are the church, listen, the gates of hell, not ordinary Islam, the gates of hell cannot prevail. People say, Christians network, do this and build up. I say, that's not Christianity. Christianity is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all other religions that gather up against you, all right, will fall for your sake. That's what he said. Are you getting my point? Listen, the job of a Christian is to continually obey God. If you now listen, you know, I'm trying to get us away from this thing of, if I want a car, I will obey God like this and car will come. If I want a wife, I will obey God like this, car will come. If I want a child, I will go and give an offering to somebody who has just delivered and their child will be mine. That's Buddhism. That's Christian science. That's what they practice. That's not Christianity. You give to somebody who has delivered, whether you're expecting a child or not. Amen? That's the way it is. Anything that's right to do, I say all the time, you do it all the time. That's Christianity. But listen to me. Listen to this. Let me first prophesy, then I'll give the scripture. You will never be disappointed. Amen. Let me say to you, listening to me this evening, hear ye the word of the Lord. It will not happen that you will be an old man, an old woman, and you will look back and say, if I had known, I would have followed a different path. It will never happen to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, whatever it is that you have desired, hear ye the word of the Lord. What your life will experience will be far beyond that which you have desired. Amen. You know, one day it will happen, you will look back and say, hey, you mean I actually used to envy those who came from America or used to travel to London? Now I give to these young boys and girls around me when they marry, I give them weekend. Okay, you just married? Go and do 1 week on my neck in Switzerland. that's, you know, a time will come, just say, now I give these people as these things as wedding presents. You will start laughing at yourself. So a time, there was a time, it was my prayer point. Say, Lord, forgive me. That will be your testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, now you are begging people, okay, I need job, will somebody help me? A time will come that your card, a card, you scribble on the back to somebody, say, ah, please help my brother. Or this young, my young friend is in need of help. Please kindly be of assistance. And you take, they will take that card and say, good morning, sir. My elder brother said I should give this to the MD. And you're talking about the MD of Coca-Cola, you know, Guinness, Shell, One Big Bang, Zane. That is, do you get my point? That is, you were in a hurry. Just say, okay, just scribble on the back of the card. And that will be giving jobs to people. Then you will look back and say, there was a time, you made me too, I was queuing up. Oh my God, God forgive me for being anxious those days. That will be your testimony in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, what I'm telling you is a matter of fact. That's what God does. I told you I was going to give you a scripture. He said, those that hopefully wait for him will never be put to shame. That's the scripture I wanted to give you. Those that hopefully wait for him will never be put to shame. Those that put their expectation upon the Lord will never be put to shame. Are you getting my point? That's God's job. He said the eye of the Lord is running to and fro the whole earth, looking for the opportunity to flex his muscle on behalf of the person whose heart is perfect towards him. Are you getting my point? I told you, for the challenge of Christianity, pray that prayer for yourself every morning when you wake up in the morning. Father God, may my heart never depart from you. May I trust in you at all times. God, in the name of Jesus, please, there are temptations out there. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil of disobeying you. Sounds funny, but pray that prayer consistently. There is not possible. Listen, oh my God, I pray you get the point. If you wanted to own cars and be doing big transportation business, God will give you plenty luxury buses. If buses were the things you were dreaming of, you know what God will do? He will give you airplanes. Yes, and that's it. But that he will not do exceedingly far above all you can ask or imagine. That one is the one that will not happen. He must do exceedingly abundantly far above what you can ask of or even think about. I said it to you before. If you think about covering the world with the gospel like Paul did, what did God do? What did God do for Paul? He covered the earth that he knew with the gospel. Then God now projected it over thousands of years after him. So that 2,000 years later, you and I will still start a day. Gather your family, gather your friends, and somebody will open to the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans. That was far above what he could ever have imagined. Are you getting my point? A man wrote a book called The Pilgrim's Progress. Maybe he was praying that God let this book sell 100,000 copies that Christians will be taught. It became this. There was a time the book was the best-selling book after the Bible. Decades after he wrote it, the book is still selling. God will do, this is a blessing for the blessed man, exceedingly, abundantly, far above that which you have ever imagined, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen to me. Sometimes we preach faith as if faith is that you must take this thing, believe it, and hold on to it. That's primary school level. Because what God wants to do in your life, it is not possible to take it, hold it, believe it, hold on to it. It's not possible. Because you haven't seen it before. Yeah, it's not possible. Well, when did Paul conceive billions and billions of pages from his writing? You know how he used to write? Say, Timothy, how much remained there? Timothy said, senior apostle. Now, wow. The transportation from here to Thessalonica for only you is 200 denarii. You say, me and Titus must follow. So that's
150, 150 for small boys, joined to 200. How much is that? That's everything is a 500. And you say it is a Nike and you don't collect offering. No, so you talk. So we need to have 1,000 so we can come back. Okay. Abi Oga, you want to make tent when you reach there? Suppose, okay, how much they now? So I got everything put together at 150. How much is one sheet of paper? So that one at 25. So go and buy. Go and buy as much paper as that 150 can buy and pen and bring it. Yeah, right. We desire to come to you, but we were hindered. At the one point, we were hindered. There are different kinds of hindrances. There's volcanic eruption hindrance, volcanic ash to just hinder everybody over Europe. Then sometimes there's acute pocketitic hindrance. Then you check the pocket. You don't go onto the road by faith. I'm traveling by faith. Buy paper by faith and pen. Said Timothy, right. We desire to come to you, we're hindered. But we want you to know that they begin to write. Roll it. Yeah? Go and send the next ship that is going, tell them to post it for us there. And that's it. He has summarized that visit. See, I don't get money now. That's the summary of it. We'll come when we get money. Then God takes that letter written in simplicity and preserves it. And then one day, a church council gathers. They gather the letters of Paul and say, this is the major part of what we now call the New Testament. Then one day, a man in Germany invents the printing press for the sole purpose of printing the letters of Paul and things like it. I hope you know, the people who invented the press, they wanted to just publicize the Bible. And that's it. Now the thing is everywhere. Paul just wrote a letter, you must understand. Listen, Mary Kay Ash told the story of how her son came to her. Go and read that book, Miracles Happen. That chapter titled, You Can't Outgive God. So her son came to her and said, this, my friend, is very smart. He has invented this method for prospecting for oil. And I know the boy is smart. The thing will work. So what are you saying? Mommy, invest some money. So she gave them, I don't know exactly how much now. Give them some money, good money. And forgot about it. I think it was 2 years later or so. Let me not mix figures now. That the matter came up again. This was after she had gone and promised to double all the amount, to match every money they give towards their children's church offering that day. Thinking they would get like $2,000. When they didn't call her on time, they said maybe it's up to $10,000. They called her and said it's $106,000. And she had promised to match it. They tried to release her from the pledge. She said no. I will still pay it. Thinking of, let me go to the bank and borrow money. Then I will pay the bank back. The phone rang again. And the son said, why is it that everything you put your hands to turns to gold? So, but what are you talking about? He said, can you remember my friend, the geologist? Say yes. We finally struck oil. Your share in the first month alone is over $100,000. That was money she invested and forgot. Paul wrote letter and forgot. Mary Kay invested and forgot. The thing that you have done that you thought was trivial, God will take it and use it to multiply you exceedingly. Amen. Listen, that's how God does with people who believe his word. It's funny, the one you are laboring for, in fact, Kingsley called me today, we're discussing, he said, look, Pastor, I believe this particular one is mine. He said, this is why I said so. He said, because it's happened to me from the time I was in school. If I labor for something, oftentimes I don't get it. Then something like it that I did not labor for usually will come better and then to replace it. He called me this afternoon and was telling me that. Many of the things we labor for as believers, we don't get them. Are you getting my point? But some of the things we did not think were important. They are the things that God will take and amplify. I don't think that Paul thought those his letters were the things that we, all of us be talking about. Paul. Be arguing, was he tall or short? What kind of man was it? Was he angry when he wrote this? Was he fool when he wrote this? Do you know how many pages, billions and billions of pages have been written about the letters of Paul? Far beyond that which he ever imagined. Let me pray for you again. Or let me prophesy to you. This is your blessing. Not only will God bless you, those who come in contact with you will be blessed. Amen. Because they came in contact with you.
a time will come, listen to me, you will be giving out businesses as like, okay, you are leaving us, take this segment, we are not interested anymore, you go and develop it.